The Bible addresses our emotion of fear 365 times. That's one for every day of the year. 70 of those times, God in His own words gives us this command: do not fear. Now, it's not as if God's saying there aren't things in life to be afraid of. But the whole point of Scripture is that we should not be preoccupied with fear and doubt and anxiety as we go through life. Today, that's hard to do, isn't it? Let's be honest. Fear is universal. I was at Costco earlier this morning, and I was thinking that if the exit receipt checker, you know, the person that checks all the goods in your basket, were to ask each one of those people, hey, are you afraid? I think that today everybody would say, yes. So, what are you afraid of? And they would say, well, I'm afraid of running out of stuff, like toilet paper, people. Really? I think when we get into this panic buying, it's just an indication that we actually don't know what we should be, what we should fear. In fact, the power of the unknown is a great fear in and of itself. I think that for all of us, we haven't really looked ourselves in the mirror and said to ourselves, these are the things that I really, in a deeper level, am afraid of. Like, I'm afraid of being laid off from my job. I'm afraid of losing all of my retirement savings. I'm afraid of social distancing and being isolated from my friends. I'm afraid that something bad in all of this is going to happen to someone that I love. But underneath all of that, underneath all of fear, in fact, is this. I am afraid about death. Death is so frightening because it's so common. Everybody's dying, and the COVID-19 virus isn't going to increase that statistic at all. Death is so frightening because it's so unknown. No one can tell me what it's actually like to die. Fear about COVID-19 is gripping the whole planet because we are afraid that someone we know and love will contact the virus, will get very sick, and will die. The symptoms that I'm aware of, at least, actually aren't that unknown to us. You're going to perhaps have cold symptoms or something like the flu, and if you get really sick, it's like having pneumonia. The difference here is that we don't have an antidote, and we don't really know exactly how this thing will play itself out across the globe. Sober-minded scientists and doctors are telling us that we don't have an antidote for this, and that this virus, in its ratio between infection and death, is extremely high. This is real. And so there's a real reason that we're feeling fear. But into all of this, God speaks to us. Listen to Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The command to do not be afraid, more often than not, is followed either by a characteristic of God's nature or by an action that God has accomplished. 10 times, do not be afraid, is followed by this second command: do not be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't look anxiously about you. God commands us, do not fear, do not be dismayed, and then He supports it with 5 reasons. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Look at those promises again. They're actually spatial. I am with you. I am by your side. I am your God. I'm over you. I will strengthen you from the inside of you. I will help you all around you from wherever you see the enemy coming. I will uphold you from underneath you. God has completely demonstrated this promise in Jesus, his son. The characteristics that he has manifested and the actions that he has taken are these. He has sent his son, God with us. And so in Jesus, I am by you, over you, inside you, around you, underneath you. Therefore, do not fear. Have you ever thought about what fear does to you? Well, one of the things is that fear causes you to see your problems as bigger than God's ability to solve them. Fear magnifies the emotion and the problem, and it diminishes God in your situation. And so God knows this. And therefore, he tells us to keep our eyes on him and not on the spread of the COVID-19 virus or the social distancing or the economic meltdown or the global lockdown. Fear causes you to resist the positive change of this opportunity. You see, fearful people seek the easy way out of a situation instead of the right way. The global lockdown is a great opportunity to find new ways to live and to look at the new relationships that are possible, or perhaps the new ways to do our work. In all of the tsunami of all of the news reports around this, I've been looking for some of these positive opportunities, and several times I've found articles that have talked about the positive outcome. Like, for example, in China, the skies are clearer, the rivers are cleaner. In Italy, people are on their balconies, and while they're in isolation, they're starting to talk to each other. They're singing songs together. In fact, a yoga teacher went down on the lawn between all of their apartments and started doing a yoga class, and there they are, having a new sense of community together. What kind of opportunities of positive change can take place as a result of all of this? I believe that this presents a wonderful opportunity for us as a church, that God will in fact bring us a new wineskin for the ministry that he has for us in the days to come. Back to fear. Fear paralyzes you so you cannot make the right decisions. People who are passive or paralyzed by their fear will be blocked from making a decision that will steer them towards facing their fears. Right now, there are a lot of decisions that are being made for you and for me. Your decisions may be small, but make the decisions that you can make. And then check in with your family and your other support systems, perhaps by connecting in a new way with your friends here at South Abbotsford Church, so that we can walk this journey together and that we can make the right decisions with a sense of confidence. Fear will also cause you to want to control things and people. When we get afraid, we think, if I can only take hold of it, if I could only manipulate how it should end, then maybe my fear will subside. And we have to realize that with this crisis, there is no way to do that. And so, the wiser decision or option is simply to take this opportunity to learn what it means to trust God with what I cannot change. The future, my friends, is not uncertain. It is absolutely certain in God's control. Fear causes us to relive past hurts and disappointments on a regular basis. And I want to say to you that when you wake up in the middle of the night and you begin to brood and have circular thinking about everything that's not right in your life, everything that's happened, or everything that you had hoped would happen and you're disappointed in what has taken place, that this is a great opportunity for a fresh start. Let's learn to trust God in a crisis such as this. Fear also breeds suspicion. Fearful people tend to be suspicious of everyone because they're afraid that people will take advantage of them. or they'll try to hurt them, or they'll try to move towards their own self-interest. Caution is important, to be sure. But my friends, we have to learn to trust each other so that we can help each other. So God's command penetrates into this time of fear. How can we live through this pandemic without fear, or at least without the kind of fear that becomes destructive? First of all, get to know the character and nature of Jesus. When you begin to understand that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and He holds the universe in the palm of His hand, when you get to know the real power of God and the complete authority of Jesus and the transforming work of the Spirit, then you will look at life with a different perspective. Story in the Gospels of the disciples in a fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And Mark records that the disciples looked at each other in terror and asked themselves, "Who is this?" They had to come to know Jesus and His power to deal with the crises that caused them fear. Secondly, I want to suggest to you that you and I need to keep our eyes and focus on Jesus. When we behold His greatness, we can look at everything else in the right perspective. Our problems and things that cause us to be fearful become small compared to what Jesus can bring into our lives. Looking at the things that cause you fear all the time will bring about fear and dismay in your life. You remember the story of Peter when he sees Jesus walking across the water in the middle of a storm, and Jesus invites him to walk on water with Him. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Keep your eyes and focus on Jesus in the middle of this critical time. Also, know that your strength, my strength, comes from Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Jewish nation was entering the land of promise, and God wanted them to know that His greatness and power would give them the promise. We read just a few days ago in our reading out of Joshua chapter 1. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He will fight on our behalf. He will make our paths straight when we acknowledge Him in all of our ways. He will scatter our enemies and establish this promise of living in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Because the all-powerful God is with us in Jesus, we need not fear anything." You might be lacking in your own ability, your own understanding of how to respond in this circumstance, but Jesus is all-powerful. Paul gives us this great promise that we hang on to. "I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." God has made this full reality in Jesus for each one of us. I also want to say, through this crisis, you can face this pandemic without fear by changing your habitual fearful thinking habits. Don't run away from your fears. Face them. Don't allow yourself to be paralyzed by fear. But in Jesus' power, stand up. Look in the mirror. Name it. The Scripture says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to renew the way we're thinking. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I also want to encourage you to express honestly your fears to Jesus. Tell God about your fears and ask Him to give you His perspective on all those things that cause fear in your life. Philippians says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, two more things. I want to encourage you through this crisis to begin telling people that God is in control. God is in control. The gospel is inevitably drowned out when things are going well. What's to fear? But in a time of crisis, our ears, our hearts are open to hear this good news. God is in control. Tell everyone. Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age." He is with us. And the last thing, show the people in your world, in your life, in your community, by placing your trust in Jesus, that we are not alone in this life. God has prepared you and me for days like this. God plans to show the immeasurable riches of His kindness through simple acts of Christian courage in this world paralyzed and consumed by fear. In the days of self-quarantine and isolation, we can show the world that by placing our trust in Jesus, we are not alone in this life. And so as Christians, may we move toward, not away from, those who are in need. As families, may we open our arms and even our doors as hospitals become full and overwhelmed. As a church, we can embrace the right risks at the right times and so fill our fearful city with the name of Jesus. God doesn't want us to spend our sheltering-in-place days preoccupied with fear and anxiety and worry. God commands us, "Do not fear and be not dismayed. For these reasons, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you." I want to pray for you today, and I trust that you will be encouraged by this word. Father, I bring my fear about this COVID-19 pandemic before you. I know you are almighty. I know you are sovereign. But today, I'm still afraid. Father, please keep in front of me the reason that I do not fear. In Jesus, I am by you, over you, inside of you, around you, underneath you. Remind me of all the times you were with me when life got hard. Thank you, God, for your constant love, even when I have doubts and fears. Help me to move toward, not away from, the neighbors who have need. Help me to open my arms and doors as hospitals become full and overwhelmed. Help me to embrace the right risks at the right times and so fulfill a fearful city with the name of Jesus. Thank you for your patience and your tender mercies that are new every morning. And Lord, thank you for your promise to be with me always. I love you, Father, and I pray all of this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.